marriage go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage, love and marriage, it's an institute you can't disparage. Ask the local gentry and they will say it's elementary.
Great song.
I love that song.
What a good way to come on.
So welcome to KVMR. You're listening to He Said, She Said. He Said with Paul Sanders.
And She Said with Harriet Diamond. Our mission, which I talk about every single show, our mission is to provide information that will give you new perspectives so that you can communicate more effectively and be happier in your relationships. That's what we're about here.
And despite our lengthy experience, me as a therapist and Harriet as a life coach, we're focusing on giving new perspectives but not providing therapy.
Well, there's an opportunity for you to share today by calling in at our studio. And our number here is 530-265-9555.
So, Harriet, I've been meaning to thank you for doing something I just don't have time to do, which is about 2 weeks before every show, you do a blog on kvmr.org, and you always ask for feedback, and you also give a way for people to respond. So, Harriet, for this show, we got a lot of responses.
Amazing. And what is our show? Our show is telling us your ingredients for a loving relationship. So I imagine all these people, I think we brought in 15 people that felt they had a loving relationship and they knew what that single ingredient was,
right,
or gave me one of the ingredients mm-hmm. that are really important to them.
So even though we came to the show prepared to do the topic,
which I love, yeah, which is called Handling Separateness and Togetherness.
Mm-hmm. It seems appropriate to really talk about what our listeners called in with and talk a little bit about each one. And then if we get to our prepared material, we'll get to it.
That's great. I like that.
Uh-huh.
And let's give their names, too. I mean, I know that they're listening out there, and they all said they'd love to have their idea,
mm-hmm.
their ingredient,
sure,
announced, and so good. How about you starting, Paul?
Well, I know Desiree and Laura each had similar things. One was respectful, and one was deep listening. And I really resonated with that. And in fact, I think that was our first show when we talked about communication and that how, as a guy, when I hear my wife talk about a problem, my hand is already reaching out to the toolbox to open up a tool because I want to solve it, and really learning that a lot of women, they just want to be heard. They don't want a solution.
I think it's a great ingredient, actually. Many times you feel that you're more alone when you feel that person is not really listening to you. He's concerned with other things, which I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to know that he's really there. He's really
right.
in the moment, paying attention mm-hmm. to you, not fiddling with his phone, not, you know.
We're guilty
not
of that.
That's true. I'm glad you admitted that. Not multitasking,
uh-huh.
okay?
Well,
but really sitting there and being there, Paul.
Mm-hmm. I had mentioned to you the other day that it's also hearing kind of the technical term is meta message, the meaning between the words. So if my wife says, oh, that's fine, when I say, hey, I'm going to go out with the boys, I really got to pay attention to the tone. Is it really fine, or is it something else? Maybe I should say, sorry, guys, I'm going to do stuff at home.
I think sometimes I've used the word sure,
uh-huh.
which is not saying anything, really.
Or that's fine when it really isn't.
And that's fine when it's not.
Yeah, so that's a part of
So I think
good
deep listening, deep in this case, respectful listening is important because you're being heard,
mm-hmm.
and that makes you care for that person even more.
Absolutely. How about another topic? Kathy said, pick your battles.
I like that one. I do. Well, I was married to a New Yorker, and New Yorkers seem to, everything seems to be argued about.
Mm.
And I really think that it's nice what Kathy had to say. Pick your battles. Don't be arguing all the time. It's not about all arguing. I mean, it's debating. But in her case, she was saying about battles that mm-hmm. and being in fights. I can't imagine being in fights. And good for her that she said, hey, she has differences
mm-hmm.
with her mate. She has lots of differences, but that doesn't matter. Only the very important ones that rub her totally the wrong way
right.
Will she start talking to mm-hmm. him about.
Well, there's going to be disagreements between couples every single day. But I think...
Really?
Yes. I think...
okay.
You're teasing me now. I see.
I am. Sorry.
But if you're going to... nitpick everything, then your relationship is doomed. I think you really have to decide, you know, looking at the bigger picture and saying, is this really important to bring up, or just letting it go? You say let it go a lot.
Yeah,
and I think that's a good.
I think letting it go is really important. I mean, we were talking earlier about something that happened on an earlier show,
mm-hmm.
and I was telling you about someone who said, "Oh, gee, that person who called in and said something, I don't know if I would agree." And I love that you did not tell that person who did call in that anything was wrong at all.
Sure.
So good for you.
What did you see on the list?
I like Cynthia's. Cynthia said, and this is an important one. They're all important, but this one, show appreciation and gratitude. What does that really mm-hmm. do, Paul?
When you've said that in other shows.
When you hear that someone appreciates what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
Let's say you're giving them a service of some kind.
Right.
Or you're just waking up in the morning and feeling, oh my gosh, this is a wonderful mm-hmm. day. I feel happy and I'm appreciating
right.
My husband, my mate, and someone mm-hmm. in my relationship. And it's making you feel happy. But think about it. When you really get to say to your mate,
mm-hmm.
hey, I appreciate you. Or I'm in gratitude for all
sure.
those nice things you're doing. Don't you think it makes them want to do even more?
Right. Well, you had taught me about the languages of love and
right.
how I was kind of a service-oriented, you know, person in terms of showing my love. And because I have that type of personality, I really like hearing thank you and I appreciate that you did that for me. So this was really huge for me.
Ah, okay, great. I'm glad about that one.
And Tom V, he just had one word, trust.
He had a couple of more words, actually.
Did he? Well, let's hear them.
Well, one word was sex, I think.
Okay.
But his big one was, I thought, trust. And I can't imagine in a relationship that if you don't have trust, what do you do with that?
You know? Have nothing.
That's true.
You basically have a partner, like a lover or a superficial boyfriend or girlfriend.
I can't even imagine thinking that even with a lover. How do you have a lover without feeling that you trust them
and, mm-hmm.
and that they're, you know, really there? They're not going to talk about it. They're not, you know, they're
sure.
honest and caring of you.
Mm-hmm.
So trust goes a long way. It's not just a one word thing. It permeates the whole relationship of what you do with each other.
Well, also, there's two parts. You trust your partner, but you yourself have to act in a trustworthy way. If you're a little bit deceitful, you don't share everything, you have periods of time you've vanished, or you're kind of leading a secret life, that's the opposite of trust. So you really need to act in a trustworthy manner.
Right. Isn't trust also with being honest? I mean, I find, and I guess I've said this, that if lying for me is a serious one,
mm-hmm.
and if you tell me a lie, and then we know it's a lie, okay?
Right.
I'm never going to trust you again. No, one lie.
Uh-huh.
One lie. It means you could lie to me other times, too.
So
how will
like...
I ever know? So trust is is such a deep belief system of that other person.
It's foundational.
It's foundational.
Without trust,
that's a good
nothing
word.
Else can really be built upon it.
Right. So good for Tom.
Mm-hmm. How about Brian?
Well, that was an interesting one because he's from a different culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of wondering in that maybe they see things differently or maybe their relationships are different or they have different ingredients that make a relationship. His was about compromise, which is right on. And that compromise he was talking about was this give and take between him and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really good, too. He was saying that, you know, having a family, that it's really important to both be able to really flow and give back and forth their opinions and their concerns when it comes down to their children or their activities or what they're doing. And so I thought that was really good of him. Compromise. Compromise is a good word.
I was thinking, if you're a single guy and not dating, you can truly do anything you want any day of the week. But as soon as you have a relationship of any kind, you automatically have to start, you know, considering the other person's feelings, making time for that other person, maybe scaling back some of the things you do, some of the hobbies you like to do, some of the activities you like to do, and you have to re-examine. Maybe this new partner does those things with you, or maybe you have to set those aside. Or do them less. But it's all about, and of course, family focus. As soon as you have family, there's a lot you're not going to get to do.
Well, he's definitely coming from very much a family focus.
Uh-huh.
And I think he has three children.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've had to be able to say, where are we putting our finances here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was telling me how he compromises with his wife on whether it's a vacation or whether they're putting the children into camp, which actually would be a vacation too for them.
At
there
least
would
during
be,
the day.
Yeah. But he really believed in that give and take.
Mm-hmm.
That was an attitude he walks around with his loving relationship.
Uh-huh. When you talked about Brian being from another culture, I couldn't wait to hear his answers, thinking it's going to be quite a bit different. And really, it's very much the same as American culture, which is actually a good thing, that really we're not that far off base or other cultures have a better handle on this.
Right.
This is kind of a universality here across cultures. Yeah. You do have to compromise. You do have to focus on family. And there is a give and take in any healthy relationship.
Right.
And that's what the show is about, right?
Right. But, I mean, it was unusual in the sense of the respect, I know, the listening, I think, is kind of common amongst women who would say, I want someone to really listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
But coming from a man, this was really good to be able to say, hey, I got to compromise with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have that give and take.
And I think if you're mature, you can also say it isn't a loss to compromise. I think some immature men would say, I can't believe I can't do, you know, fill in the blank because of her. And that's childish. I mean, when you enter into a relationship, the compromise automatically means you're going to be doing less of things that you used to do just by yourself.
That's a good point. You know, he actually pointed out that when he was single, he brought up this story too. When he was single, well, then he could really, just what you're saying, he was able to do anything that he really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute the children came on the scene, somehow he changed.
Oh, yeah.
And it changed. His situation changed. And he said that he realized at that point it was not about being single. It was about being married and needing to compromise and have that give and take. He's a happy guy.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why a lot of us in American culture really get uncomfortable when couples marry so young, because there's that maturity factor that when you're such a young parent, you know, there's a huge side of you that wants to play with your friends and do all the fun things that young adults do.
I do.
Well, you find a way to fit it in.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. I think fun. Actually, I would believe that in a loving relationship, fun is really important. Mm-hmm. Okay, that would be my ingredient.
Right.
Having fun, because you're laughing. I like laughing. Mm-hmm. I like having a good time, you know?
And in theory,
that would be my ingredient.
You could do that on your own or with your partner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to go away from your partner to do that. If we get to separateness and togetherness, we're going to talk about that, aren't we?
Okay. Yeah.
And Raquel had a great list. She had a number of things.
This is all the one. This is someone who came. An email came from Orlando,
Florida.
I think that was the farthest one. The rest were close in California, but this one came from Orlando.
And just a quick note: we're broadcasting worldwide on the web. If you ever want to hear us online, you want to look us up on www.kvmr.org.
Well, actually, my son was in Greece, and he said that he had put the kvmr.org on.
Mm-hmm. On his phone?
He had it, and he missed us by a couple of minutes. So I don't know if he's listening. He's in Umbria today, but if you're listening out there in Umbria, hey, that's great. Mm-hmm. I just love it.
And also, our show is archived for 2 weeks, so if you happen to miss it, we'll be on there. We're working on getting each show on a podcast, but there's some technical stuff we got to learn.
Right. Well, we have one show on a podcast. Mm-hmm. That's really nice.
And in fact, one of my coworkers had listened to it. So thank you, Keith. So what jumped out at you from Raquel?
Here's a very good one. They're all good, but I mean, mm-hmm. Here's a very good one that resonates with me. Real forgiveness.
Okay.
Not bringing up past wrongs.
So like you're in an argument or disagreement, and then you're like, well, what about back in 1974 when you...
Didn't do this.
And as a therapist, this is therapy 101, that we always advise our clients, don't bring up past things when you're in an argument. Just talk about the issue at the moment. It's not fair to bring back old stuff.
Like an elephant.
Whether
an elephant, isn't there a saying, an elephant? My father used to say, an elephant never forgets, right?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Not an elephant in the room, elephant's memory in general. Right.
An elephant's memory. But the point is, I think that women, I'd have to say, and maybe men too, I don't know, you'd have to answer this, Paul, but I think that it's easy to hold on to a lot of things, mm-hmm. that from your
old
past. Old grudges or complaints that were made, mm-hmm. or behaviors that you didn't like on such and such a time.
Mm-hmm. Maybe resentments.
There you go. Resentments. Right. And so Raquel was saying real, and she had actually capitalized real forgiveness. And not bringing up past wrongs. Hey, everybody, that's a good one. Remember that one and see if you do, bring up past wrongs. And ask your mate. Wait a minute. We're into communication here. Mm-hmm. So, Paul, I would say it would be a good idea if someone's feeling or seeing that their loved one does bring up, mm-hmm. complaints about something old.
Right.
Hey, that's a good one to talk about. You know, sweetheart,
and resolve it and put it away.
And put it away, and that it doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really makes you angry,
right.
I think, when somebody's bringing up something from a year ago.
Well, it's incendiary, too, because you have a disagreement about B, but you're bringing in A, which electrifies it and makes it twice as bad. And now the person's responding to B, but now they have to defend themselves with A. And it
defend.
Just becomes a huge thing when it was just something that happened in the moment.
Right. But remember what your mother did a month ago? No, I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm like, have you been talking to my mother?
You thought I was for a minute, didn't you? Yeah.
You guys actually have a lot in common. It'd be kind of cool, you guys talking.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe one day. So,
so that
there's
was
a lot of
real
things
forgiveness
on this list. Uh-huh. Yeah, I want to go for this one too.
Sure.
I live this one because I thought this was an important ingredient and is an important ingredient. Don't go to sleep angry with each other. Mm-hmm. I remember, I was married 43 years and my husband and I worked together. And so there was a lot that went on during the day. But when we went to sleep, it was always, I love you and have a good sleep. And we never went to bed angry over any business or any disagreement that happened in business, mm-hmm. Or in our relationship. It was over at that point. You go to sleep, you have good thoughts. And that's why I like to say, sleep well, have good thoughts, sweet dreams. Those are all good, mm-hmm. Which I might want to add. Don't watch TV. Today, politics that has that makes you angry, not a good thing.
And so, I'm going to say it just because I think we ought to do another show in the future about, you know, detaching from things that make you angry, perhaps like social media.
What do you think about that? You and your wife, what happens to you?
Well, it's interesting, going back to going to bed angry. My wife doesn't want to, if we're having an argument, she wants some space and time, and then we come back to it later.
Another bedroom?
No, I'm saying space and time in terms of not addressing the disagreement.
Oh, okay.
She needs to kind of take a time out and then come back to it. And okay. Unfortunately, if that happens at night, then we are going to take it up in the next day. But I still like your premise.
Yeah.
You know, take care of it, resolve it, establish closure with it, and then go to bed with it done. I like that. Another thing that Raquel said that really resonated with me, and that's never share what's going on in your marriage with other people. I looked at that and I immediately said, oh yeah, that's a thing.
Oh, tell me about that.
So guys, I'm sorry, I always make it seem like we're the bad guy here, but what we tend to do is complain about our girlfriend or wife to our friends. And I always think that that's a bad idea because typically you're talking about what's happening and your friend is going to take your side automatically. A good friend might call you on it and say, well, what about, you know, your part in it? What did you do to cause her to do that? But typically our friends just say, yeah, you're right, that's terrible. And so you have this feedback loop that's distorted in your favor. So it doesn't really help you. So I think talking about what's going on with your marriage to a therapist is a good idea, but not necessarily talking about it with your friends, unless that friend is saying, is calling you out on your stuff.
Ah, okay. I see that difference. I think women, we share a lot of things together.
A lot more than men.
Yes.
And, a lot more.
Okay, a lot more. And I think that sharing is not so bad when you're telling the right person who mm-hmm. really knows you. I guess it is about calling you on it if
right.
they think that you're the one doing something mm-hmm. That's not working. I think that's a good idea.
I like that.
Raquel, thank you for that one. That's a good one. What about regular quality time together? That was one of her mm-hmm. ingredients. She's making a pie here.
Right.
Regular quality time together.
And you know, when you become a parent mm-hmm. and you're probably both of you are working, it's all you can do to, you know, put something on the table for dinner and get the kids off to bed and fall asleep exhausted at the end of the day. But I really think it's important, and so does Raquel, to really find quality time together. I remember my mom, speaking of my mom, when we had Kelsey, she would come over and say, okay, I got Kelsey, go away, go to a movie, go do something. And
oh,
of course,
that's
it was
great.
Really like, really? Are you going to be okay? And,
oh, that's
and of course,
so nice.
The baby was fine.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
And I think we do need, as an ingredient in a loving relationship, time mm-hmm. that's meaningful and together and can be quiet.
Right.
As well as taking action and doing something. Well, that was here's another one that she said, practicing love as an action.
I like
so
that
here
one.
That follows what I was saying, taking time out of your day or your business or whatever, you know, you're together, and doing something that is very loving, that you both think is very loving together. I happen to like cooking. I've told you that. I think cooking is a loving practice.
Nice.
You know, of sharing and doing something together.
I really resonated with that one. Practicing love as an action. So I looked at it like making it into a verb instead of it's just a thing between me and the other person.
Mm.
It's like something you act upon, you know, instead of just saying, I love you. You're actually doing something extra. You
like
should
what?
Still say,
like what?
I love you. Maybe it's something out of character. It could be something as generic as flowers or taking her out on a nice picnic or, you know, earmarking time where you do something nice together that you wouldn't normally do. I really love
that's
that.
That's a good ingredient. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Changing it into a verb instead of just a concept that, you know, you and the other person have.
Practicing love as an action.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She also said falling in love, which I think is similar. You know, keeping the love alive, doing things that are couple-like instead of two people that, you know, live together.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's, let's keep going.
Sure.
JT, great guy. He said, I think this one's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of follows what you're saying, too. He said, doing unexpected nice things.
First,
he said, happy wife.
Okay.
Okay, and you resonate with that.
Mm-hmm.
Happy wife, happy life.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, well, what is happy wife?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what makes an ingredient for a happy wife? That was my question. And he said, doing unexpected nice things. Okay, he said, not taking the garbage out. He wasn't going there. He wasn't saying,
darn.
You know, darling, would you take the garbage out? No, he was saying that just doing unexpected things that he was not called upon to do.
Sure. And it could be very easy things to do, like maybe you take her car out through the car wash. You know, you clean the
great.
Interior. You make a meal when she fully expected to make a meal. Maybe it's something nice you do on the weekend you don't tell her about. It's like, hey, earmark Saturday, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. You know,
that's
and make
great.
Sure that they have the right clothes and you have the car already packed. I love doing stuff like that.
That's great. Well, good for you. You're romantic, too. Well,
yeah.
that's great ingredient. See, you're married how many years?
Oh, it's 95. So it's 20-something.
Wow. Okay. And are you still doing all these? These are your ingredients?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get a little busy, and sometimes she
well,
gets
you both work,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and have a daughter, a teenage daughter.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay.
Let's mention that because Kelsey's 18 now, and she's noticing she has a job now. So she works and leaves and then comes back, and mom and dad are gone. And she's actually like, where'd you guys go? Oh, we went out on, you know, we had a dinner or we had a date. And she's like, you're doing all these fun things without me.
Wow. Okay.
And we're saying that's actually true. And now that you're older, we can do those things. And of course, Kelsey says, well, good for you. But she kind of misses having all three of us do stuff.
Right.
And we still
right.
do things as a family. But, you know, that's another thing to remember. As your child gets older and start having their own friends, they are naturally going to do things with their peer group, which frees up time for you to do more things with your wife.
Well, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like that my children are grown and, and just having loving relationships is wonderful, being without children.
And actually, I'll give you a little compliment. Because they're in such good relationships, they got that from somewhere.
Ah,
you know, they
you.
Got that from mom and dad. Because
yeah.
We are the role models of how healthy relationships, positive relationships are.
Mm-hmm.
We're the role models of what a marriage ought to be.
Well, both sons, my sons, Duke and Andrew, I tell you, they are great fathers, mm-hmm. for sure great fathers, and great husbands.
They're both
and
very
they're
successful,
both in, and they're both in wonderful marriages. Mm-hmm. So, oh, that's many blessings that I'm so happy about that.
Well, now, Adela, okay. one of our famous DJs
yes,
here,
yes.
she does so much for our show, or for the station.
Yeah, she does.
She had said communication and compassion were the two most important
okay,
ingredients.
Okay, well, I really resonated with her word. I mean, we're about communication here, but compassion was a very good word to use.
What does that mean for you?
Well, realizing that maybe when your loved one comes home mm-hmm. and he's had a day or whatever conversations he's had, and he's not, you know, coming home feeling that perky. He's
sure.
something happened during his day that's kind of brings him down a little. He's not depressed, but brings him down a little. That you're compassionate mm-hmm. about it.
So it's almost like empathy, where you can kind
yeah.
of feel for the other person what they're going through at the
yeah.
moment, and maybe do something a little different
yeah.
to kind of A, acknowledge it, and B, maybe support that person.
Well, I didn't speak to her about this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's how
she
I'm
texted
resonating
it,
with it,
but
yeah.
I would have resonated with that mm-hmm. that way too.
Well, when we both come home from work, you can kind of feel the energy that they're bringing home. Like my wife does a very tough job. You know, my job's pretty tough too. So we can each kind of gauge when we've had a bad day. You know, and that's when we were pretty good about saying, "Hey, I'll do dinner," or "I'll do the dishes," you know, or maybe we both need to get out and have a meal outside. You know,
good thinking.
Go out to eat.
Right, right.
You know, so.
Right, okay. I like that one.
And communication, it seems like we've been talking about that the last four shows. In
well,
one
communication
form or another.
Is for sure. And that's what we're about here, I feel, mm-hmm. is perspectives on having a good communication
right.
between you, you know.
Well, between everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah, we
sure.
don't live in a vacuum. Our lives affect others. Other people affect us. So you could be the greatest person in the world, but if you can't interact with those around you in an effective and compassionate manner, then you're really going to be stuck. You know, you're not going to get your needs met. You're not going to get ahead. Your goals will not be met unless you can communicate.
Well said. What about Lena? And I think that's pretty much our list here today.
Mm-hmm.
But Lena said something that I thought was very important. She was telling me a story about a husband and wife that she knows. They've been married, I think, 50 years.
50?
And,
wow.
Yeah. And one of the things that they do, which I think is a wonderful thing to do, is before they have any kind of critical discussion
mm-hmm.
with each other, you know, you didn't do this, before they even get to what you didn't do or anything critical, they say, "I love you. I love you, sweetheart."
Mm-hmm.
And then he will say, "I love you, sweetheart." And so they're opening their conversation together.
They're starting it on a good note.
They're starting it on a good note. And it's coming from love. And even though, isn't that much better than saying, "Hey, let me tell you today where you were wrong."
Where you messed
you know?
Up.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good thing to remember. That's
mm-hmm.
a good ingredient, I think, is that you're thinking about, before you get involved in a discussion of anything that is critical, a
right.
critical nature,
mm-hmm.
you first put the groundwork out. That this is about love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming from love. I may be not liking what you've done,
right.
but I'm coming from love here.
Mm-hmm.
And that I like that.
You know what I'm thinking as you're talking is
what?
This is a technique you use at work too. I know that when I need to deliver negative feedback, I'm already thinking about all the positive things that they're doing. And I'm finding a way to verbalize it in a way. It's like, "Hey, I really appreciated you helped me out that day. And you've been doing a great job on this. I'm struggling with this thing. You know, what do you think?" So I'm kind of sneaking the negative feedback in the
oh,
back door.
Good.
But I've
okay.
already kind of set it up like it's a positive interaction. I'm acknowledging the good stuff, mm-hmm. and then soft peddling the criticism or the negative feedback.
Do you do that with your daughter? I mean, here she is
Absolutely.
A teenager. Okay.
Because she'll do things that sometimes drive me crazy. And if I know, I'm tempted. Here I am a therapist with letters after my name, and I'm tempted to just blast and just say something really crass
No, not you, Paul.
Yeah, because she'll do things that are frustrating.
Yeah.
And I recognize if I say it that way, she's not even going to want to hear it. You know, and I'm not going to get what I wanted out of it. So I really have to think about how to package the criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's...
And it is packaging the criticism. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. right. That's a
In
good
fact,
way to
even
put
the
it.
Word criticism yeah. is negative. It's supposed to be, I don't know, negative feedback maybe? But
yeah.
that has the word negative in
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know what? Those were all the responses. Thank you, everyone, for calling.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Yeah, that was really excellent in getting all those responses. And they're really great ingredients mm-hmm. for the recipe for a loving relationship. Well, each one of them.
They were.
You know? So I'm glad we spent the time to talk about it. Our recipe
mm-hmm.
for a loving relationship is two ingredients also that mm-hmm. are good, handling togetherness and separateness.
And didn't we have to just whittle it down because we just had so many different ones?
Absolutely.
And we've talked about communication, and handling togetherness and separateness is a valid one. And I'm aware of our time. It's 43 after. So we're going to get through a little bit of what we prepared, and then the rest will have to go into another show.
Okay. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
I think togetherness and separateness are really important parts of a relationship, a loving relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And a good relationship, I think, I see it as a pie.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, where you have all different things happening in your life. You in your pie, it's kind of broken up into friendships, your business, your outside activities, your creativeness,
mm-hmm.
Your loving relationships. So it's all broken in of your pie. And I think that that's your friendships, interests, and activities. And I think that how you work that out in your day with your in your relationship is a very important one, because a lot of times the friendships are different, your
mm-hmm.
interests are different,
right.
your activities are different, which puts you into a separateness
mm-hmm.
with your significant other.
Sure.
Or
it's almost like it sets you up for conflict, yet it's important to you to have those outside interests.
I think it's healthy.
Yes.
To have those outside interests. I don't think there's one person, and I think we've mentioned this before, I don't think there's one person that can give you all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to have girlfriends. I want to have activities that I like, even if my mate is not into that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a girlfriend who has her activities and interests in clubs and with other women,
mm-hmm.
and yet her significant other, he plays bridge, he's got poker, he's got golf. Okay, there's a separateness. I don't think that has to change that they have to give up things.
Right.
I'm
thinking about when we were in high school, and there was always a friend of ours that was so into their boyfriend or girlfriend that it was that person 24/7, and they gave up friends and activities and everything. And we all knew even back then it wasn't going to last.
It didn't last.
You can't be
no.
that into a person and absolve everything else.
No, I don't think that's healthy though. I heard one person told me her most important ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm sharing this under separateness.
Okay,
and it's about. She thought it was about having separate vacations.
What?
This was her number one thing: separate vacations.
Wow, that.
What do you think about that? Was your wow good or
no?
Bad? No,
vacations are about rejuvenating. Refreshing your relationship, getting getting to know your partner again, doing fun things together and relaxing and recharging and getting to, you know, getting that mojo back with that person. If you're doing separate vacations, it's kind of, I don't know, it has the opposite effect to me. I would think it would alienate each other.
Well, what about, I've got a friend who does fishing trips, and mm-hmm. his wife doesn't go with him. He may be going to Alaska with sure. three other men, or they're on a tour. Do you see that as a vacation?
Well, that is a little different. It's almost like the boys' night out, girls' night out. You can have quality time with your peer group.
Oh, I see.
As long as you're still having quality time with your husband or wife.
So it's not exclusive.
Right. I would think if he does a fishing trip, he's still doing a vacation with his wife.
Okay.
You know, if you do both, I think that's fine.
No, I think that's good.
I think a healthy relationship really involves trust with that other person. So if a girls' night out or a boys' night out is, fraught with worry or suspicion, then that's not a good thing. You should be able to be okay with that person going out. I think it's affirming to get out with your friends and cut loose. You know, I really believe that relationships with partners who each have outside interests and friends are healthy.
I think that's healthy too. And I think that while you're out there doing your interests and your activities, I think you're growing, and you may be growing and hopefully learning and growing individually.
Right.
And I would wish that your mate would then be supportive of all that, not angry,
right.
not feeling vulnerable that of being left out, but being real supportive.
And, you know, I'm probably I'm a good example. I've accumulated more friends and hobbies and interest groups more than ever. And my poor wife, she's really had to adapt to me doing all these extra outside things. But I do think that if the partners don't adapt to how the other person's growing, then your relationship is at risk. And haven't we heard of relationships that break up and you ask one of the people what happened, and they say, well, we grew apart. You know, maybe that's what happened.
Well, I would tend to think that they grew apart because the steps along, it didn't just happen, is what I'm saying.
Right.
The steps along the way, they had not communicated with each other. They had not shared, hey, you know what, Paul, this is really bothering mm-hmm. me. If your wife had said that, when you say the word adapt, mm-hmm. Then she adapted and she's feeling good about it and she's happy about mm-hmm. it. And didn't need
I'm assuming
to,
so.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's how I'm feeling, that I think that when people say, hey, we grew apart, mm-hmm. it's because they didn't communicate that, you know what? I know that you're going out with your friends, mm-hmm. but I got to tell you, I feel uncomfortable about it. Now, that's not to say uncomfortable means that you have to stop, mm-hmm. but I'm at least sharing with you, I'm feeling a bit uncomfortable.
Sure.
That I don't know exactly, you know.
Well, the therapist in me is saying, are you uncomfortable because you're not feeling secure about yourself, or you're not feeling secure about the relationship?
No, I think you could feel secure and confident about yourself.
Mm-hmm. And the relationship?
And the relationship.
And yet still feel uncomfortable.
Okay. Yeah, and still feel uncomfortable. Uncomfortable doesn't make it bad. You're just feeling things that, hey, maybe you're feeling things that are coming up from old history. Mm-hmm. From
childhood
old,
abortion stuff.
Or past relationships.
Could be. Or it could be that deep down you wish your partner didn't do so many things out of the house. You know, I talked about all the hobbies I have. That requires me to be away from my family. So I have to really decide and perhaps scale back some of these things so I can be present and be a meaningful person as a husband and as a father. So if I did all my hobbies, I literally would never be home.
Right.
You know, and that's not fair to my wife.
And you'd be single.
Yeah, probably.
I was just going to say that too.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to being a balance.
And I said earlier, when I say, hey, honey, I'm going to go play poker with the guys, when I hear, okay, I'm already thinking, wow, maybe I ought to stay home. You know, poker isn't as important as maybe supporting my wife when she would rather have me home. You know, that's not selfish of her to ask, but it might be selfish of me to say, all right, I'm out, even though I kind of know that she really was uncomfortable with me going to play poker.
Right. So it's zeroing in on really looking at your relationship, mm-hmm. and saying, is this making us a more loving relationship, or is this taking away from us having a loving relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the questions. You and I have talked about this on a show, too. I mean, you need to sit back, be quiet. Mm-hmm. Think about what's going on. Is this good things that are happening in my relationship, or should I change some of these things, mm-hmm. or talk about some of these things that are bothering me?
And I've mentioned before, it's a two-part process. When you find yourself troubled about something, you really got to get quiet and ask yourself, is this my stuff? Is this my childhood of origin things? Are these things having to do with my relationship with my parents, and now it's being replicated in the here and now? Or is this something going on with my partner in the here and now?
Right. I mean, there's in the separateness and all those activities, you could be feeling left out, man or woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, feeling left out that they're not participating, and maybe feeling left behind. And that kind of brings up past wounds, too. All of this needs to be looked at.
Sure.
And talked about. I think
being left behind, that's an interesting one, because some people act in a way that actually makes things worse. Like, I remember this one person, she's blonde and beautiful, and but she kept losing her boyfriends, and these were significant relationships. And I'd ask her why, and she kept saying, I keep getting cheated on. But the more we talked, the more I realized that she was really pretty insecure with herself. She did have a past history of infidelity, but she was so sure that her man was cheating on her that the guy, after a while, was like, well, I might as well then. And some of these guys were really good guys, but it was the expectation of being cheated on that created this force that drove a wedge between her and her man. She would be accusatory. She would be suspicious. Mm. She'd be like, oh, so you're going where? You know, and yeah. Automatically the guy feels like he's on the defensive, and, you know, she'd check his phone, she'd interrogate him.
Oh.
And yeah, and I felt bad for her. She's this beautiful lady, but yet she, her insecurities will drive away the best man, best of men.
And I bet she didn't tell him. I bet she didn't say to him, you know, you're going out, this is how I'm feeling,
mm-hmm.
because he could have, maybe he would have backed down mm-hmm. from going out as much,
right.
or saying to her, hey, you're my one and only. Maybe she needed reassurance.
Right.
But if she didn't tell him, she wouldn't have gotten that reassurance.
And as from the man's point of view,
he's not looking to hurt her.
I'm looking at, I couldn't be with her either if I was single. And she's gorgeous. But the fact that she could be so insecure is such a turnoff. I'm like pushing my hands away right now.
I see that. Yeah.
And that's so sad, because if she could only kind of get it together and kind of resolve, if, whether it's a family of origin issue, a childhood of origin issue, maybe she could trust again. You know, we talked about walls the other day. And I've said it in a show that walls are great for keeping bad people away and protecting you. But those very walls keep good people from entering your life as well. And that's really sad.
Her vulnerability, too, was not just her alone. I mean, let's put him aside.
Mm-hmm.
Her vulnerability was not allowing her to feel the fullness of her own self.
Ooh, that's deep. What does that mean?
But it's true. I mean, she was always not trusting.
Mm-hmm.
Not open-hearted. It's all about our hearts. Our mm-hmm. hearts need to be open. It's okay to be vulnerable, because that takes you to your next step of lovingness, of not being worried about mm-hmm. Is he gonna do this,
or
is he gonna leave me, or do so. You're just saying, hey, being in a vulnerable state is allowing yourself to open your heart, not be fearful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fearful that really, for women, stops them from opening their heart and being as loving as they could,
mm-hmm.
or moving forward in their relationship. Maybe their relationship could be a lot better.
I like that. Well, Harriet, it's 12:57.
Oh, no,
57.
Don't tell me it's over. No. Oh, gosh.
The fastest hour in radio. And you know what? We didn't even get to managing your behavior, which was another component that we wanted to cover. Okay. And you know what? We're going to have to do it the next show.
Okay, but I want to say this. We said separateness, but about togetherness, I think that should be a top priority. I'll say it really fast.
Say it.
I think togetherness should be a top priority, a mindfulness and putting it together, focusing on we're going to be together, just like you said of your date night.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing we could do separate things, but we need to also do things together.
I love that. So although this is somewhat...
I can't believe it's over.
I know. Although this is a somewhat tongue-in-cheek show, this is not therapy. And as always, the views, opinions, and advice expressed here do not reflect those of KBMR, its board, management, staff, or underwriters. You want to say one other thing?
No, I just... Okay. No, I'll look forward to our next show.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And again,
thank you, everybody.
Sure. We sincerely hope that our show gave you new perspectives in your relationships. And if you like the show, please email our program director, Steve Baker, at program@kvmr.org. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I'm Paul.
I'm Harriet.
And we are He Said, She Said.
And I love our Love and Marriage. Play that again.
All right.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell your brother, you can't have one without the other.